Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Kings of Non Sequitur. Any topic, any subject, anything goes. With your hosts, Jay and Dre. Welcome in. You are indeed listening to Kings of Non Sequitur, the off-season version of In Much Less Detail, the podcast, here with you live on a Tuesday night, May the 23rd, 2023. I'm Dre. He's Jay. Got a little hour show for you tonight, getting back in the saddle after some time off after the NFL draft. So I just wanted to get a little show in. You know, we always get some shows during the off-season. We kind of meander around and talk about whatever's on our mind. I got some nightmare stories to tell about job searching tonight for anyone interested in that. Jay, how's things going?
Doing well. You know, last time we talked was the draft, that's right. And Cute Factor had broken her leg, and we're in the recovery phase of that still. So that's pretty much been dominating everything here the last month and a half. Since that happened, so every day is starting to blend into the next. So I don't have any special topics to talk about tonight. But of course, that doesn't mean that we won't meander and just do what we do because we are the Kings of Non Sequitur.
Yeah, we'll start somewhere and we'll end up somewhere else. What'd
you guys do? Forget where we started.
Exactly. What'd you guys do for your anniversary?
Boy, what did we do? We went to the casino. That wasn't fun.
No, sorry.
It started off fun. And it,
yeah.
But, and it, you know, but we didn't lose more than we were willing to lose. But we had a good time. It was a bit of a condensed night. It's been hard trying to get out, having an immobilized child still.
Right. Yeah, that's how those trips to the casino usually go, isn't it? They start out fun, and then something happens, and things go south.
Yep. You always know that point where you should have left and didn't.
Yeah. Very, very familiar. That reminded me of the only thing gambling-wise that I wanted to mention what's been happening. Just the perfect example of how bad my luck has been. I think I told you about these single-game parlays you can play for these basketball playoff games where you go shopping down the list. I want this guy for assists, this, you know, this many points, this many rebounds, this, that, and the other. And you can make some, you know, some interesting parlays and get some good odds going if you play your cards just right. And all I can say, that first Nuggets-Lakers game, the first game of the series, I was one LeBron James assist away from $1,100.
Oof.
One assist. Got everything else right.
Man.
And just missed by that much. And that is all you need to know about me and my gambling. Up and down as always, mostly down, but that would have handled a lot. That would have made me up by a lot. That would have made things really sweet. But
the only thing that would have made it better is if they had sent you a check for almost $1,100.
or a plaque or something. You were this
almost
close.
Winner.
Yeah. that should be on my gravestone. Almost a winner. Here lies Dre. I did get a check. That's part of the job story. That's part of the nightmare. I have received a check for a large amount of money, and I didn't want anything to do with it. It's basically the way that went down. I guess I can get right into my stuff. We got an hour live, as I said. Whatever time we have left, we have other things we can always get into. We can talk about the NBA playoffs a little bit. We can talk about baseball so far. We're about a quarter of the way through the season at this point, maybe more of a third of the way through. And I'm sure, both have thoughts on what this sort of new world, brave new world of baseball is with the timer, the pitch clocks, and guys stepping out and stepping back in and doing the hokey pokey and turning themselves around and all that stuff. So we can get to that. We can play our favorite game, one of our long-standing traditional games in the off season here on IMLD, is where I read Jay the most recent list of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees, and Jay responds meh to pretty much all of them. So we can do that as well.
You know, they who's left?
The list gets more and more eclectic every year. So
yeah,
that's about all I can tell you.
We move farther and farther away from rock and roll, and now it's it's like
music.
The Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Oh no! Oh, with Pete Rose and Donald Trump and all sorts of people that have nothing to do with wrestling. I don't know if it's quite that bad, but it's bad. So there's all of that to possibly look forward to. That reminds me to tell you that we do a lot of that in the after show. If we do go live over the 1 hour, we do have a VIP after show after that. You can only listen to that on the podcast version of the show, which you can come back here to listen to that at blogtalkradio.com/inmuchlessdetail. You can subscribe on iTunes or any number of different places that you subscribe to podcasts. But that's something to look forward to after we go over the hour live. So let me get to what in the world has been going on with me. Basically, the occupation that I have has been not very steady as far as the amount of work. They without getting into all sorts of boring details, they pay us by the amount of work we can bang out. So basically they pay us by the keystroke. And if you don't have a lot of work, you don't have a lot of keystrokes. So there's a lot of days, just like today, of us just kind of sitting there looking at each other, trying not to fall asleep, looking at movies on our phones and TV shows and whatnot, which is fine for, you know, downtime, but is terrible as far as trying to get paid by your production. So I've been looking around. I've been, you know, I've been here for 12 years. I've been here in Memphis for 12 years. I've been at the same job, the same building. They've gone through several name changes and you know, company sales, but it's basically the same general occupation and operation. But I've been bouncing around the different online job sites, seeing what's out there under data entry, and seeing a lot of things that looked really promising as far as remote work. You can, you know, a brave new world with that as well. You can get a job based anywhere in the world. And if you got a good enough setup at home, internet wise, you can do your job there. You can do your job. I definitely remember being on a couple of cruises, the last few cruises, and walking past people sitting out there on a table right there near the water with a laptop up. And they clearly were not, you know, looking at movies or doing anything, lazy or you know, they were intense. They were hunched over and work. They were clearly working. They were clearly doing something that was important. They were probably working and making money. I mean, they may have been writing the great American novel, but they were probably actually doing their job and making their money that way. You can do it anywhere, all this remote work. So I'm like, hey, you know, I'd love to get a piece of that. There's no reason for me to drive to work, you know, 17 miles every day and back. I can save on that gas. I can be at home. I can spend more time with the wife, and, you know, a lot of they get paid more. The salary's better. So a lot of pluses and not too many minuses. Well, I didn't think there were too many minuses. So I started looking around some of these websites. The Indeed.com, for the most part, was where I was looking. And one thing I found on Indeed, looking under data entry, was this website called Scouting Heroes. And basically it is very similar to Baseball Info Solutions, which is the company that hired me to go to baseball games, minor league baseball games down here, and chart a lot of data and send it back to them for a minimal amount of money per game. But it was very fun. I was getting paid to watch baseball, and basically I loved it, and I'm sad that it ended. It ended a few years ago, right before the pandemic hit. They were going to pull out operations here anyway, as far as here in Memphis. They had enough cameras set up where they were going to be able to look at the games remotely where they are up in Pennsylvania. They didn't need anybody to come out to the games anymore. So this is this company called Scouting Heroes. They're new. They're looking for people to go do college football games. They're not looking for baseball, at least not right now, but what the website did indicate that they're trying to expand to other sports, such as college basketball, but they seem to be focused right now on college football. And I went to the website. It looked legit, a little light on details. There's nothing at all about, how much they want to pay you per game to do this. There's really not much as far as what they want you to do, what data they want you to gather at these games. But they are looking for people, and they're looking for people all over. I saw all sorts of, college towns that they have advertisements out for, not just here in Memphis. And for here, they actually specified not just University of Memphis, but they also want people who can go up to Arkansas State University, which happens to be nearby Memphis. It's only an hour drive to Jonesboro, Arkansas. So that wouldn't be too big of an ask. They're all Saturday games. I'm looking at the schedule. So it's a problem that I work Saturdays for my day job, but I figure I could find a way to get out of all those Saturdays. Not like it's every Saturday the rest of the year. It'd only be, six or seven Saturdays. So between sick days and vacation days and switching schedules with somebody during the week, I would be able to cover them all. I would be very confident I could do that. So I dilly-dallied a little bit on applying because it is on Saturday. And I just kind of shrugged my shoulders and said, what the hell? It'd be an adventure. It'd be fun. I don't know how much it would pay, but I'd be getting paid to watch college football, which is, the same as getting paid to watch baseball. It might be a minimal amount, but I think it'd be fun. It'd be a new adventure. It'd be something, what the heck, why not? So send in my little application. They got back to me and said, everything looks good. Go ahead and schedule a Zoom interview with us. And I went to their calendar and scheduled a Zoom interview. This interview lasted over 40 minutes. I don't know if I'm going to get it or not, but they certainly put in the time to try to figure out who's legit and who's not for this particular position. So it's a real guy, big burly guy with an Alabama hat on, so somewhere down south. But professional. Except for his dog in the background walking around and barking. But it was a legit interview with a real person, and I thought it went very well, with the exception of he started getting into, regular job questions, asking about the integrity, stuff like that. Clearly they don't want someone that's going to, watch the game from home and lie and say that they were at the game and whatnot. So all that was fine. Then he says, let's get to some college football questions. And I thought he was going to start asking about rules, and I prepared. I looked up some of the college rules differences between college and the NFL. That part I was prepared for, and he got to that later as well. But the first stuff he actually asked me about was, all right, who won the college football national championship last year?
Georgia?
You should apply. You should get this job. Wait,
was it Georgia?
Yeah, it was Georgia. I completely
blanked. Hey!
You should be the one applying for this position, apparently.
Yeah, because I answered that with so much authority.
I'm Ron Burgundy? Georgia? Hey. I didn't know.
I didn't look it up or nothing. I just thought it was Georgia.
it was.
I
had no idea. So he goes,
hang on, I'm applying right now.
So he goes, so how many people, how many teams are in the national championship tournament thing? Four, I believe.
Eight.
Okay, that's good. Well, it was four. It used to be four. Now it's eight.
Okay.
And he said, and who was in the playoffs? And I was like,
oof. Georgia?
Very good. They had to be in the playoffs in order to win the playoffs.
TCU?
See, and you're doing much better than me. I didn't know. I knew Ohio State. I didn't remember Georgia at all. And I said I know there was a Texas team that was outside the Power Five.
Yeah, it was TCU, I'm pretty sure.
Right. I threw out Texas Tech and Texas A&M.
Oh.
And it was neither one of those two. It was TCU.
So I got Georgia and I got TCU.
Yeah. So I don't even remember who the other two, you know, clearly Ohio State. And then to make it even better, I threw out Alabama because they're always in it. And Bama said this year.
Bama didn't make it this year, no.
I don't watch college football. I didn't remember any of that,
so. I don't honestly either, which is so funny that I got that.
You retained a lot more than I did. I don't know why that was. I just completely blanked on all of that. I thought the interview went pretty damn well, except for the part where he tried to ascertain my actual knowledge of current college football. He also asked, like, referee signals, which I knew pretty much all of those. He asked about yardage. Like, he gave me scenarios about if you're at 2nd and 10 and you gain 6, or you're at the 30-yard line and you gain 9 and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
So he was trying to really, you know, dig deep in these interviews. So I thought it went, like I said, I thought it went well, except for that part about the current college football championship landscape. This interview took place, I want to say, about maybe three weeks ago now at this point. Haven't heard back yet. College football is a long way away. There's no telling when I'm going to hear back, if I'm going to hear back. So I'm very ambivalent. I'm 50-50. I think we did talk about my experience with Baseball Info Solutions. So I think if he's looking for someone that, you know, clearly knows how to go to a game and get the data and be accurate and do whatever needs to be done to relay exactly what happened and not rely on the television coverage, which obviously you can't rely on that because sometimes cameras go out, sometimes they misplay, sometimes they're busy showing a replay and they miss a play. So I definitely would never do that. I would never try to go off the TV coverage and claim that I was actually at the game. There's some things you just are going to miss. They don't catch every single play. So I got that across pretty clearly that I would be someone that would actually be there and that would be able to make the games. He even brought up Mississippi and Mississippi State, if the people doing those games were absent, would I be interested? Now, I didn't know how far away Mississippi – I know where Mississippi is, Ole Miss. That's in Oxford. I know that's an hour south of here. So I knew that. I had no idea where Mississippi State was when I said that I would consider doing that. I actually had to go look up Starkville after the interview was over. That's like a 3-hour drive. I'm not going to do that.
That's way down south.
Right. Unless they're paying me like an annual salary where I can quit my day job.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going down to Starkville. Anyway, like I said, I thought that went pretty well, except for that part about actually getting the college football teams from this past playoff in there. So there's that interview. That I don't know what's going to happen there. So we're on hold as far as waiting for that. Then I've been seeing other data entry jobs. I wasn't looking for anything sports related necessarily, but that just came up, the Scouting Heroes thing. And that looked legit. I saw a bunch of other jobs out there under data entry that look so tantalizing. They're all talking about much, much more money per hour than what I'm making right now, without getting into specifics. A lot of them are talking about remote. You don't have to be there at the office. A lot of them talking about full benefits. A lot of them are talking about flexible hours. A lot of these jobs are looking really, really tempting. And some of them are talking about specific, like if it's a medical job, like medical coding, something like that, they're saying you need education experience in that field, which I would not be applying for those. But a lot of them are not saying that you need experience in that particular field. A lot of them are basically saying you can, if you got any experience at all at data entry, you can come apply. I didn't even consider that some of them might not be on the up and up. So I applied to several of them, but one of them got back to me like the next day after I applied. It was a random like air compression parts company that's supposed to be headquartered in Illinois, but the job listing said Milwaukee. Okay, whatever. They're offering way more than I make. They are offering full benefits. So I apply for the job like on a Saturday. They come right back immediately, like on a Sunday morning, and email me and they say, yeah, we looked over your application. You look like a candidate that we would really like to blah, 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 et cetera. They don't send me any kind of invitation to interview live on Zoom. They don't send me anything like that. They say, here's the phone number to our head. I forget what position they called her, the head hiring person. Here's her phone number. We need you to text her on Signal and set up an interview, and we can, and then you can go from there. I'm like, huh? So, red flag number one. But it didn't occur to me that there might be something weird about it. I just went along with it. I said, this is a new day, new age. Maybe there's more people, doing interviews by setting up on Signal. Maybe there's some legit reason why I was going along with it. I sent my information to the person on this random phone number. They got back to me that evening, and they didn't. It just felt weird right from the get go. The syntax that they were using when they texted me, it was like, you are ready to do the interview, I'm understanding, yes? And I'm like, huh? Punctuation was weird. It wasn't in the right place. And I'm just going along so far because I'm so I'm in a bad place at my job. It's just so dead there. And I'm really looking to sort of get out. And so I'm thinking
is that a more recent thing? Or has this been steadily declining?
Yeah, it's steadily. Like the last 3, 4, 5 years, there's less and less people being able to pay their bankruptcy payments and just less payments coming in. And combined with the post office crap that was happening a few years ago, people's payments getting lost. It's just a lot of stuff going on that, it's a lot less work there than there used to be. So this random person texted me on Signal. I understand you're ready for this interview process. Yes. I said, yes. Okay. And I actually kind of panicked a little because at that point I'm looking around my room where I'm sitting here like, okay, if she sends me a link to a Zoom, I got to clean up like really fast because I am not prepared right now to do a live interview. And she basically comes back with, okay, we're going to start the interview process now over text. All right.
Huh? What?
Yeah, she started this interview right there over the Signal app, and I'm like in almost in disbelief, like this is gonna be the interview over text, okay. And she fires off all these long questions that clearly she didn't sit there and type out; they're pre-made or what have you. It's like,
sure.
Section one and, four questions or whatever going down the list and, what is your experience? Why should we hire you? Et cetera, et cetera. And again, with this bad grammar thrown in there, but I'm just overlooking that, a lot of detail, a lot of this is what we do. This is what we need you to do and et cetera, et cetera. So I'm going along. I'm like, okay, this nothing really feels exactly right about any of this, but might be my only chance to do something like this. So I'm going along. I'm answering every question as greatly as I can. I'm trying to sell myself. I'm doing everything, like this is a live person, even though in my mind I know this is not a live person. I know I'm going at it with a bot right now, but I'm going to, do my best to impress this bot. I'm going all out. I'm, doing everything I can. And from the jump, it just felt like I was chatting with a Russian bot. There's grammatical errors, commas in the wrong place. The word okay was capitalized after several questions, even though it came after a comma, like nothing felt right. But I wanted this so bad. I just kept going along. And at the end of this process, she says now she has to send the interview questions to their department head in order to consider my application, and said something like, do not go anywhere too far away from the phone or something, you know, acting like this is about to be
adjudicated. Going down right now.
Right now. Sure enough, 5 minutes later, she comes back with something like, after careful consideration, you're hired. And I'm like, what? And like, hired was in capital letters with like three exclamation points after. Like, I won a contest.
Sounds like
or
you're
something.
Playing a video game.
Right. I made it to the last level and I have saved the princess and I've been hired.
Yes. You're playing
and
job simulator.
So I ran back to the other bedroom where my wife is sitting, and I had actually let her know I was in the middle of the interview on text, and she, being the queen of research, I've never seen anybody that looks up and researches stuff the way that she does. She had actually Facebook messaged me some article about more and more companies are interviewing people on text, so maybe this is a legit thing. So that kind of made me like, okay, I'm gonna keep going with this. So then when they told me I was hired, I went back to the other bedroom, and I'm like, and she's looking at me like, is the interview over? And I looked at her with this blank look on my face, and I said, they said I'm hired. And she said, no. Like, this, no, that doesn't make any sense. You haven't, have you spoken to, no, I haven't said a word to, no one's said anything to me live. No one's done anything. This is all through text. So now I'm sitting there next to my wife while this is going on. And the next text after they told me I was hired immediately was this, the longest list you could ever imagine of software and hardware that I was going to need in order to do this job from home, like MacBooks and printers and scanners and just the longest list you've ever seen. But not to worry, because the next text after that said that I was going to pay for all of this stuff by check that they're going to send me to my house, so long as I give them my name and address and telephone number. Uh-oh. And all that stuff. And I'm still in the matrix. I'm still hoping and thinking this is legit, because the moment they sent me that list of stuff that I would have to buy, I was like, oh, I'm out. There's no way in hell. I'm not buying all this shit. I don't know. I haven't talked to anybody, you know, live. But then the next text, oh, we'll pay for all of that. You just have to use that money and buy this stuff back through our vendor or something like that. And I'm like, yeah, this still feels a little weird. But because the information wasn't too invasive that they were asking, which is just name and address and phone number, which is already on my resume, which I already sent them anyway, I said, okay, as long as I'm not sending in my social or anything, you know, really bad. So I sent it off. And so the next day, they text me back on Signal, and they're like, you know, hope everything is going well, blah, blah, blah. Just checking in today. We will be getting back to you the next day with instructions on how to use that check that we're sending you to buy these, all these things, the software and hardware that we're going to buy. So at that point, I go, okay, let me see if I can break this bot. Let me send some questions off the script instead of just saying okay to everything. So I go, when do I talk to a real person? And the bot comes back with, you will talk to your supervisor once the training begins. I'm like, uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Obviously, they've gotten that question before.
Right. And my next question was, when do I get a job offer? And they came back with, you will get an offer today from my assistant, Tiffany, or something like that, whatever the name was.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Any other questions?
Do I have to fill out any paperwork?
Right. So they had any other questions? And I said, that's it for now, I guess. And they said, okay, have a nice day, and signed off of Signal. I guess I went the rest of the day with this whole thing ruminating in my mind, and did a little researching my own online and trying to see, okay, I put in the company name and the word scam, trying to see if this was something that they had done with that company. Nothing came up under that, but the company itself, when you go on that site, there's nothing about careers. There's nothing about job openings. The actual on Indeed.com, the actual job listing was gone. I went back to look at that. It disappeared.
Well, it's because
it did an Effingham. It just completely disappeared.
Yeah. Well, it's because you're the guy, so they got their guy.
They got their sucker. And looking up some other scams, just everything just kind of kept pointing more and more to, this is not legit at all. This is a complete scam, and you're an idiot, and this is – so by the end of that day, I had said, I'm out. I think I've convinced myself that I'm finished with this. Deleted the Signal conversation, blocked that particular number, and hoped that would have been the end of it, because I didn't sign anything. I didn't agree. I mean, I agreed to the job technically. I said yes, but you know, that's all they got on me is saying yes. And hoped that would be the end of it. No, it wasn't, because the very next day, sure enough, there is the check that they said they were going to send right there, delivered by UPS. In a big brown envelope with no job offer at all, literally no paperwork inside this envelope except a check to my name for $6,600 and some odd cents.
Wow.
And I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me, man. This is – so now I'm sitting there with this big check in my hand to my name. Company name on the top of the check had nothing to do with the company that was supposed to have hired me. It's a completely different name on the check. No other paperwork, nothing at all. They just threw this check out to me, and 2 days later, there it was at my doorstep. Now I'm like, what the hell do I? I didn't want anything to do with that check. Like it was like toxic to me. It was radioactive. I didn't even want to touch the damn thing. I actually drove back to UPS here in Memphis and did a return to sender, and since I opened it, I had to actually mail it back to them. I couldn't actually just, you know, return it to sender.
Just send them a note. Sorry, I died.
I didn't send a note. I just paid the money. I stuffed the original envelope back into a new brown envelope with the return address that they had on their envelope. I'd send it to that. I didn't say a word to them. I just stuffed it. I wrote return to sender on the original envelope. And that's it. I didn't want anything to do with it. I didn't want to communicate, because it's a scam. There's no reason to converse with these people. It's a complete scam. So the good news is radio silence since no emails, no conversations at all ever since all of that. I sent that thing off last week. I assume it got there. I got the receipt. I meant to look it up and make sure that it got there, but I'm sure it got there. So the good news is no police have shown up at my house, Ponzi scheme. Hopefully I'm not involved in it, but the bad news is there is a check out there with my name on it for $6,600. And anything could happen. So I'm still got my fingers crossed. I'm still going to, you know, look over my shoulder and hope that nothing goes bad. But yeah, that was a 100% scam. And I hope giving the details of it helps out anybody else that's out there job hunting. There are some shady motherfuckers out here on these websites. They made it look legit. They got all these details about the job description and all the duties and all that. So they got me. They absolutely got me in their web. But thankfully, everything cleared up in my head before I did anything stupid with that money.
Yeah, it just makes me wonder, what's their end game here? I mean, what were they?
Check probably would have bounced higher than a basketball.
Yes.
At that point, now I'm wrapped up in something where they got my banking information.
Uh-huh.
I think that's probably how it goes down, and somehow they end up with my banking information the moment I try to cash that thing, and that at that point they're able to open lines of credit and really fuck me over. And I'm still looking out for that. I'm definitely going to keep my eye out for anything squirrely on my credit report. But that was a thing. That was crazy. So, some of these jobs out here that seem too good to be true is because they are.
That's off of what's supposed to be a quote-unquote reputable job search site, right?
Right. That's what threw me was I'm like, this isn't me finding that bitch on Craigslist that wound up scamming me out of the student loan. This isn't, some craziness that I just totally threw my hands up and was completely blind. This was me trying to find a legitimate job and going on a legitimate website. And like I said, the listing looked completely legitimate. And none of those grammatical errors that were on the signal text, they weren't on the website. So that was two different scammers. They need to get their scams together. Maybe if they get contact with me again, I'll make some offer like, hey, man, I know you didn't get me, but if you want me to help with your scam and proofread and make it sound a little better, I can help you out because you got some syntax errors in your stuff there. But
now, and that listing is completely gone now?
Completely gone. It was completely gone like two days after I applied.
So you don't even have any way of reporting them to the site?
Right. Because the listing, it doesn't exist anymore. So I guess that's one of the tips is hopefully jobs that you apply for will have Indeed has company listings and company ratings. Like if you got a company that's any kind of reputable, then they've got ratings from other people that work for that company on that website. But if you got, if you're brand new, if you've made up your company or you're using a company by proxy that doesn't even know they're being used or doesn't know they're being scammed, and the listing has no rating for the company at all, then that'll you have to raise an eyebrow there. Some of the articles I was reading said you definitely have to raise an eyebrow when they come in offering so much more than what you're making for that position, because that's what really hooked me was, okay, remote and full benefits and full-time hours and way more than what I make right now. Of course, I got to apply for this, right? So it's really tough out there for those of us trying to look for something and move up. But I guess you got to be really on alert and be aware and be smart about it. And definitely don't give out your personal information too. If it smells funny, play your cards close to the vest. And it messes me up because I'm like, now what? Every job that I come across from that point is like, is this going to be another scam? Should I even try to apply? Can you rely on anybody other than like people to try to get a job? Because all these blind applications, the companies you don't know, you don't know what's a scam, you don't know what's not. So it's rough. And it sucks that there's that many people out there that are looking to make a buck off of people that are in situations like mine, that are just trying to do better and improve their lot in life. But that's how it is right now, unfortunately. So hopefully anybody listening can take some tips and realize that not everything that glitters is gold out there.
At least, the story is so much less interesting because we don't know what happens after that check gets cashed. But I'm glad
everything
you didn't
is still up in the air.
Glad
oh,
you didn't
no.
do it.
Oh no, no way! I just saw that. I stuffed that thing back in the envelope as soon as I saw my name and saw the numbers. I'm like, oh no! Like was hoping they would not send it out because I didn't want anything to do with them once I figured out that it was a scam. But there it was, sitting right next to my door. I checked my mailbox and it was empty, and I was like, okay. And 2 days now, and nothing in the mailbox. That's good. And then I looked down as I came back to the front to the front door, and there it was sitting next to the front door. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh, no.
That's pretty wild, though. You're hired by text.
Hired in capital letters with 3 exclamation points. Like I won a freaking contest or something. Red flag number 18 or something like that. There was nothing legit about that, and I was just going along with it because I was desperate. So don't be desperate like me. Bottom line, don't be desperate like Dre.
Well, that is good advice.
It's always good advice. Job hunting, pussy hunting, anything. Don't be desperate.
Well, you said you had a story to tell, and there it is. So, well, hopefully, you know, you have more luck in the search.
Yeah, but like I said, what do I want to apply for from this point on? Because I don't know what's real and what's not. I guess all you can do is apply, and when you get the response back, then at that point it's up to you to you know, how far you want to go. Do you want to pursue? If they say we don't need to do a face to face interview, just do it over. That's probably
no thanks.
That's probably a red flag right there. So.
Yeah, if you get told you're going to do your interview by text.
I knew it was something weird when they first told me, but I went along anyway.
I give you credit for continuing.
No, I don't get any credit for continuing. I continue because I was so desperate, and I was really hoping that it was real and legit, even though everything about it said, no,
yeah,
this is wrong. This is no good. You know what it, was? When I dated the girl from Wisconsin, Carrie, every red flag, this is wrong. There's something wrong here. There's something off, and I just kept going because I wanted it to be real. I wanted it to work. But as I've told you, discussing that relationship many, many times back then, in the day, anytime somebody, when you ask them, what do you do in your spare time? And their answer is nothing. That's a big red flag.
Nothing.
Everyone does something. How do you say nothing? It obviously she was hiding something at that point. When I will never forget that as long as I live. We're sitting there in the bleachers at that women's football game that we met at.
Oh, man.
Yeah, all those stories. I'm taking you back now.
You're going
back
memories,
to
the old women's football league.
Back to 2003 when Dre was really desperate. And I'm asking her all these personal questions. And, you know, what do you do in your spare time? What do you do for leisure? What do you do to, you know, to enjoy life? What? Nothing. Nothing. What? Okay. When people give you red flags, you got to go with your gut. I'm sorry. It takes a long time for some of us to realize that and learn those lessons, unfortunately. There's so many other red flags that I don't remember them now because it's 20 years later, but there's a lot of them. That was the very first one. Actually, the very, very first one before that was she claimed to have no pictures of herself except for one. Why is the one picture you're sending me you in a frilly piece of lingerie lying on your bed? Like, that's the only picture of yourself you have? Really?
Huh.
What?
That's interesting.
No, that's not interesting. That's wrong. That's lying. You're lying. That is not the only picture of you that you have. Give me a break. Come on. Anyway. So yeah, well, there's a lot of red flags out there that people like to ignore because they want to believe something is real. So that was another time that I ignored the red flags.
Wow, you think about how long ago that was. I mean, that was a long time ago.
20 years. 20
years.
20 long years. You know, I said when I went through it that I would look back 20 years later and laugh at everything. Well, it's 20 years. I'm not laughing. But it is a long time. It is something that I think about and go, wow, that was really messed up, and I'm so glad that I – because imagine that situation if I actually went through with what I was planning to do, which is move up there to Milwaukee with her at her invitation. She's the one that said, hey, this is when I knew I was losing my job with the options exchange soon, but I didn't know when. And her response was, you know, Milwaukee is real nice in the summer. I'm like, huh? Oh, okay. So imagine if I'd have moved up there and then discovered that she was a secret bisexual swinger with a club online with her best friend. And, yeah. Get another.
Yeah, you might want to lead with that next time.
Or when I bust you, when I find the website and then meet you at a Burger King and ask you, is there something secret in your life that you haven't told me? And you just look me dead in the face and go, no, exactly. Same nonchalant as before. That was the last time I ever saw her. I took that long ass train up to Kenosha, and we sat in a Burger King for about 2 or 3 hours, and I wasn't grilling her, but I knew I had busted her, and I was trying to give her a way to tell me instead of me telling her, and she just completely stoned me, and said no.
You walked in there with a whopper.
Oh, jeez. And
boy howdy,
you know, and I'm trying to, you know, give her every opportunity to come clean and be honest, and you know, nothing at all, just vanilla. Everything was a lie. Everything was so
that's when you're like, okay, you're a sociopath, I'm leaving.
I didn't do exactly that. I'm sure I kissed her goodbye and got back on the train, but basically I was like, okay, she's just not going to fess up. So
I'm never going back.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I really wanted to go back with a bottle of bleach and a funnel, but we discussed that many times as well.
No. We can't edit this out.
I didn't do it. She can't come back and get me now. I didn't actually do it. So really wanted to though. Anyway,
thought crimes.
Moral of the story, if something smells like shit, believe it, which is what I should have did with this job. Do you have anything you wanted to get into as I've completely monopolized the show?
No. Like I said, I'm sitting here, enjoying your story.
give me 60 seconds to sip my tea. What's your thoughts on the baseball season so far?
Last time we talked about the baseball season, we were mainly just talking about the rules. I think everybody's kind of, settled into that. Obviously, you're still getting some of the ridiculousness where it's an ump show, but that's never going to be different. That's never going to be different in any sport, but you give these guys more to police and things are going to go wrong. Wow, what a shocker. So, as far as the actual in-season stuff going on right now, boy, I'd like to tell you that I've got all these thoughts on where the season's at and what's going on with these teams and who's doing good. I mean, we know who's not doing good, but it's still so, compressed right now, where you have, like that AL East, they talk about the East, but you got every team over 500. I mean, that's wild when you have, an entire division all above water. And, you got some of these, also ran teams are doing what they're supposed to do. So we kind of know who the bad teams were going to be, and they're living up to it. And then you have a few surprises. I mean, we talked about, it wouldn't last for some of these surprise teams. Last time we talked, it was like, the Diamondbacks and the Pirates. We're starting to see there's regression there, like there should be. Your White Sox, what's going on with your White Sox? My God.
They just swept some terrible team, Indians, I think.
As bad as they've been, I'm looking at it right now, they're only 5.5 games out of first.
Yeah, it's real easy for a team in the AL for a division in the AL to be all over 500 because the Central is all under 500 except for the Twins, who are barely over 500.
Yes, that division is trash. And neither one of us, because you were on Cleveland, who can pitch but can't hit.
Right.
They can't hit a lick. They've scored less runs than the A's, so think about that.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to be their card, their calling card. They can't hit for power. I know the Guardians can't, but they could hit. Like, that's why I picked them to win the division, because they're fleas. They just keep, nicking at you and getting
to be,
these singles
like the
here and there.
A few years ago where you just couldn't get them out.
Yeah. But you can get them out this year. I don't know what's going on, but
yeah, it's not work. But they're only 3.5 games, so that thing's a mess.
Yeah.
You know, my Cubs are what I expected. They're better than they were last year, which was not going to take a lot.
Right.
They're fielding a competitive professional team. They're hitting a lot, and you know their pitching is real hit and miss. So that's them in a nutshell.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams like we said the Pirates and the D-backs are gonna eventually fall back. The D-backs are still surging for some reason. They're getting timely hitting from guys you would never expect, but I think their best hitter in their lineup is still Christian Walker. Like, how do you possibly think you're contending for a world title and your best hitter is Christian Walker? Like, come on.
You're not.
So, you know, they are right now, but that's because it's May. You know, get back to me in September.
Right.
Yeah, it's some teams and some pitchers are adjusting better to all the new rules. It's definitely a new world. It's definitely a quicker game. I'm still not going to just swallow the Kool-Aid and turn complete MLB propaganda and say it's a much better game. It's better in some ways, and it's not better in other ways, but it is quicker. There's no debating that. That's just a fact. It's 25 minutes quicker on average. That's what they were hoping for. That's what they're aiming for, and that's what they're getting. So, okay. But yeah, like you said, the ump shows continue. That's the next frontier, as far as I'm concerned. If you really want to clean up the game and make it more efficient and a better watch, you're going to get these robot umpires in, because these guys out here are just completely shitting the bed every night.
Yeah.
They're still, you know, doing the Leslie Nielsen, where they're moonwalking and giving you the strike three, even though it's, you know, foot outside the
that's
right.
Hey,
plate.
Enrico Palazzo.
So we still got that. Once we get that cleaned up, then I'll be prepared to say it's a better game than what we've had. But it's not better, as far as I'm concerned, overall right now. Just because it's faster, it doesn't mean it's necessarily better. There's all of these in-between rules where the guys, some of the guys in the batter's box are standing there with a foot outside the batter's box, which means the pitcher, if he tries to step up and go into his stretch, technically, he's committing a violation because the batter isn't in the box and ready yet, because he's got 1 foot outside the box. So you got to
right.
wait for him to get a foot inside the box. But if he doesn't get that foot inside the box before there's 8 seconds on the shot clock, then he's committing a violation. So you got these guys waiting until 9.5 to start getting back in the box. Then the pitcher has got to wait to get into this. And it's like, what is this? This isn't baseball at all. This is not, I don't know what this is. But this little song and dance and stepping off the rubber and stepping back and trying to figure out the timing, that's – you knew stuff like that was going to happen when they got the shot clock in, and that's what's happening. I think this is still the beginning period, and once they get past that, I don't think they'll be doing that by the time the playoffs come, doing all this hokey-pokey and stepping out and stepping back in and trying to make the pitcher commit a violation. So it's bad, but I think it's because it's the beginning of this whole process, the first year, the first few months of the shot clock, and there's still some bugs and kinks being worked out and some, you know, still guys sort of testing the limits and trying to figure out what they can get away with and what they can't. So that's just a part of, you know, any rule change. You're going to have guys doing that.
Yeah, it's funny talking about the umps. There's a Twitter feed, I don't know if you've seen it, that tracks the ump. Quality from game to game on their called balls and strikes.
Yeah, I've seen some metrics like that. They're more and more websites are doing that.
Where and you know you can I will say you can attest that there are some of these umps that are highly accurate. And you think about having a like 99-98% accuracy for, you know, the game being that fast. You know, is commendable. But when you see that these accuracies, you know, for called strikes, you know, and it's in the like 88-90% range, you're like, man, you're missing a lot of pitches.
Laz Diaz, where you at? CB Buckner, I'm sure those are the guys at the bottom there.
It's interesting seeing that, because you could see when a game has been well called, and there's so much technology that you can see it now, which is nice that you have a measuring tool, but there's no accountability for any of it.
If there is,
or at least that we know
we don't
about,
see it.
Right? That we know about.
I mean, I'm sure there's a way to figure out which guys get retained and which minor league umpires get called up and get shot to take their place. But, boy, it sure feels like the bad ones stick around. How long has Angel Hernandez been doing it? And,
well, that's why, because there's a union involved there, and those guys are all protected.
You got to be able to throw out the guys who are trash, though. That should not be difficult.
Yeah, especially when you're making a spectacle of the game. Or you're making it all about you, that's when it gets bad.
Yeah, analytics have been taking a beating because ESPN's analytics for basketball have been – it started out getting laughed at in football for the draft because they were sitting there telling you that that quarterback that was supposed to be drafted in the top four or five that wound up dropping out of the first round –
get a 0.1% chance or something of making it to day two.
Based on what? I don't know. Based on Mel Kiper's 51st mock draft, I don't know why they based anything on mock drafts or what have you. But there's no percentage. There's no plays that you can go back to and say, well, if they run this and there's whatever percent chance of this happening, there's no analytic for someone getting drafted. You have no idea when someone's getting drafted. And to claim when Will Levis is going to get drafted, when there's no way to know that until he actually gets drafted. So people were laughing at them for that. And now people are laughing at Espen for their NBA analytics because the Miami Heat, who have been defying analytics all postseason long, went into this series with the Boston Celtics with like a
3%, I believe it said.
Is it that low?
I saw that stat. They had a 3% chance
of winning that series.
To go to the finals. Well, they're down 3. They're still up 3-1 now. They lost tonight.
Yeah, but the fact that they were up 3-0 in a series that they had a 3% chance of winning means the analytics were definitely wrong there. Now, unless, if the Celtics
come
back.
For a team that had already knocked out the number one seed.
Right, and had no reason to put them as such a – here's the thing. People are finding out now they didn't already know. All these analytics are based on regular season performances. This is not the same team, people. The Miami Heat are not the same team that they were in the regular season. This is a completely different team. They're playing completely different. And when you don't update your models – to reflect that, then you look like complete idiots, like Espen does, saying that they had a 3% chance of winning the series. You can't base that on the regular season because Jimmy Butler wasn't playing like this in the regular season. Duncan Robinson wasn't hitting threes like this in the regular season. Gabe Vincent and all these other guys that you never heard of, but they're playing their asses off in the postseason. You have to take that into consideration, and if you don't, then you look like complete jackasses.
Yes, and they do.
And everyone's laughing at them. And it hurts me because I love analytics. But you have to have legitimate analytics. You have to have reasoning behind your analytics. You can't just say, we believe this guy is going to be drafted number five because X, Y, and Z. But how?
Right.
How can you possibly know? How do you know?
Well, it gets into two different things. You're very analytical with these things. But when we seem to have an argument about these things, not an argument between us, but, an argument with their thinking, it's not statistics, it's probabilities.
Hmm.
And when they start trying to talk about, win percentages and, draft percentage that a guy is going to go to the second round or something like, they have a 3% chance, that's not based in statistics because there's nothing to back that up.
Exactly.
Nobody ran that. What did they do? Run that through, NBA 2K?
A draft simulator or something.
Correct.
Like,
what did they run that through that tells us? I mean, obviously somebody must have run a million mock drafts and figured out that only, in 0.1% of those did Will Levis make it to the second round. Come on.
but that's based off
that's
of
still
people's
based
brains.
On nothing, right? Because all of those probabilities get thrown out, because as soon as you have teams start trading up and trading down, or you have a surprise pick, because you never really know who somebody wants or covets until that day, because there's so much misinformation that these teams put out because they're all trying to game the system. That type of stuff is so ridiculous. So that 3% probability for, well, hey, who knows? Maybe what happens if the Celtics come back and win the last three games now?
We all have to bow down to Espen and apologize and kiss their feet if the Celtics come all the way back.
We told you so.
We told you they only had a 3% chance of winning this series, even though they went up 3-0.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if that happens, then, yeah, if I did it, then we all have to apologize.
I didn't see that stat or win probability chance for the Lakers, and they got swept out of the building.
But that their probability would have been in the toilet as well, because they were a play-in team. They weren't even supposed to make the playoffs to begin with.
So was Miami, right?
Yes. Yes, they were. So,
The Lakers, yes, 4 games over .500. And they're in the conference finals, but nobody's crapping on them because, well, it's LeBron.
Yeah, I'm sure their probability was very low going into the series with the Memphis Grizzlies, who were the 2 seed.
Right.
And that didn't go so well for the Grizzlies.
I'll tell you what, the Lakers going up against the 1 seed Denver, I didn't see any of that 3% crap. I didn't see any of that.
No, I'm sure it was greater than that. But I don't know what that's based on either. That was a different Lakers team than what was going, what they were going through in the regular season. So, like I said, I love analytics, but you got to base it in some sort of reality. You got to root it in some sort of real statistic, because all of this probability stuff, that's a lot of that is based on, what we feel like. So,
You know who's got a better handle on this than ESPN? Gambling. And I guarantee you that the Heat were not plus 3,200 to make the finals, because that's about what it would be at a 3% chance, right? You're saying 97%, so okay.
Right. Yeah, so, and the Celtics were not, minus 9,700, what have you, to – to beat the Miami.
Okay, at plus 3,200. You know how much money would come in on the Heat?
Oh.
At plus 3,200.
Flooded. And the casinos would be out of business, and that's why they're not out of business, because they don't do shit like that.
Right. So forget ESPN. Follow the money.
Exactly. As always, follow the money.
Follow the money, because I that's why I can say that that's how we know that's completely bogus.
If you don't have anything else, we can get to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and call it a show.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
I love hearing these because I have no clue. I know nothing about this because this always creeps up at a time and I'm never prepared for it. So I just get to go in this completely cold. And I'll give you my fresh, honest take on each one of these. And sometimes I surprise you. Sometimes I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
All right. I'm not going to read everybody's what they have typed up here. They got some nice words for everyone.
Yeah, I don't need a bio or anything.
Right. Well, you might.
I may ask you to use them in a sentence, though.
For some of these people that you never heard of, you might need a bit of an explanation. Who? Like who? Who is that?
Yeah.
So we have performer category, and then musical influence award, and then musical excellence award, and then the Ahmet Erdogan award, which I don't know how they break these up.
Are these the finalists, or is this it?
This is it. This is the inductees, the 2023 inductees.
This seems awfully early.
They actually did it on May 3rd. I don't know when they usually do it, but I do remember doing this like in the winter before with you. So they've switched something around.
I blame COVID.
I blame Russia. Just everything's Russia's fault.
Yeah, Putin. Thanks, Putin.
So we got 7 in the performer category. But these other categories are performers, too. I don't know why they split them up. Anyway, the 7 performers in the performer category for the 2023 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Kate Bush.
What? Oh, come on.
Is a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer.
So I there's some resurgence here because she had like that song from the 80s that got really popular again because of the TV show Stranger Things. So I know that.
Running up that hill, baby.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Well,
it's not even a good song.
I don't know if that got her in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame by itself, but she's a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Guarantee you, without that sort of resurgence there or getting back on the radar, none of that would be happening. And the song stinks.
You may be right about that. I kind of like the song. It's catchy. It's definitely 80s. Next, Sheryl Crow.
Okay. Sure. There's a body of work there. It's right. A lot. It's more recent. I would say recent. I mean, it's probably starting mid-90s, I'm guessing.
This part of the bio I do have to read because it's going to make us feel old. Classic 1990s rock. That's classic rock now. Sheryl Crow. Classic rock to us is like the Eagles and shit. But
yes. They're already in.
right.
What's 30 years ago? Almost.
Oh, God. We're so old.
But I will. All right. I'll give that one the stamp of approval.
Okay. That's good.
So if I'm ranking these so far, she's in the one spot.
I feel the same way. She's got a big body of work and mostly high-quality work, although I admit I'm not completely familiar with her work, but the few songs that I know.
There's a lot there.
Yeah, a lot of work there. All right, next, Missy Elliott.
What?
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
What? Man, I have nothing against Missy Elliott, but this is not the correct venue. Or am I missing something?
Just the torch has been lit. Like, once you do Run DMC and NWA and Public Enemy,
I'll still put her over Kate Bush. So.
Okay. And I love the fact that Missy's getting her flower. She is absolutely hugely influential in hip-hop. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Is there a hip-hop Hall of Fame?
I'm sure there is somewhere. I'm glad she's getting her flowers. Next, George Michael.
Posthumously, of course.
Yeah, no longer with us.
Sure. It's not, it's pop music, I would say, but there is a lot of work there. I mean, that was 80s and 90s, he was everywhere.
Huge. Huge stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're just going for star power and name recognition, obviously he's not going to be there, performing. I'm sure they'll have somebody up there doing a tribute band version of his songs. But, yeah, I'm okay with that one.
Love to see someone do I Love Your Sex. That'd be the perfect song to.
just owned the radio with airwaves. Mid-late 80s into the 90s,
Huge star.
Okay.
Stamp of approval?
Stamp of approval. That's 2.
All right. Next in the
That's
rock
more
and
than
roll.
Most years.
Some years have been 0. Yeah, that's true. Next in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Willie Nelson.
Hell no. No. No.
I can see your face this isn't a webcast podcast, but I could see in my mind your face when I said that name. Willie Nelson?
No. Rockin' my face cold? Was, my eyes were closed, and my lips were pursed, and I was just shaking my head back and forth trying to come up with words. Like, no. I, Hall of Fame, some Hall of Fame, yes.
Country Hall of Fame, sure.
Country Hall of Fame, Weed Hall of Fame. You know, him and Snoop could be in that, you know. I mean, there's a whole, you know, Cheech and Chong, all those guys can go off into that Hall of Fame. There's a whole lot of Hall of Fames Willie Nelson should be in or is in that are not the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
So this part of the bio I have to read, too, because I'm very unfamiliar with his work, but they really tried to clean this up and make it legit. They said, Nelson may call country music his home, but he has always pushed stylistic boundaries, mixing in rock and roll, jazz, pop, and blues. So he's a rock and roll mix Hall of Famer. He's mixing in the rock and roll.
He's virtuoso.
Yeah. They didn't even try to clean up for Missy Elliott. They didn't mention rock and roll at all there. So.
No, I'm not. You know, if I go, because we don't have any of this down here, but let's say I drive down to Chicago and I put on, they have multiple classic rock stations. Like, I grew up with some of these old classic rock. They're not playing any Willie Nelson ever or Missy Elliott.
They're certainly not playing Missy Elliott.
and up until last year, they weren't playing any Kate Bush either. Still became cool.
You don't think XRT is playing any Kate Bush before last year?
I miss XRT.
I'm sure they're streaming somewhere.
Sure. I actually I have a wireless speakers in the house that I actually think XRT is on the TuneIn app or whatever.
But my
that was one of my stations, you know, down there.
But my thought would be, what are they playing now? Like, are they still playing the same stuff that they were playing?
I can't listen now because I'll feel old.
Are they still playing the classic rock? You know, are they still playing Skinner and the stuff that we grew
up on? Apparently
they're
playing a whole lot of Willie Nelson and Missy Elliott.
or have they started playing, like, the 90s stuff? Because now that's classic, right? We just the Sheryl Crow is classic 90s rock, according to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, my kids, especially my daughter, like to always make fun of how I listen to full music.
Yeah, well, that's timeless. Every generation, their parents' music is old and old people music. So
that's right.
Nothing's changed there. Next into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
You're already laughing.
Yes, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Rage Against the Machine.
Okay.
And I love their music, actually, but I'm laughing at the thought of they did enough to make the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So I'm laughing at the longevity because they I don't know how many albums they even put out. Like, it wasn't that many. And they're not really rock. They're more like rap. But they have a lot of guitar, so I guess they're sort of rock.
That's what did it.
They mixed in the rock with their rap. And I'm also laughing because they're the perfect inductee in this era of wokeness and diversity. Like, they're exactly what you want if you want to seem like the woke Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So I don't know how much love they were getting before the last few years with all the protests and stuff. But right now, yeah, that's exactly the way you want to go. Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, Rage Against the Machine.
I would put them in the third spot after, like, so you know, we have our top two. Those are automatics. This is that B tier now.
They're behind George Michael and Sheryl Crow.
Yes. So that's the S tier. Like, they're in. That makes sense. Now we're into that A and B tier. This is that next tier. Because there's probably more there than there is for the other ones, I would say, who are just like, you just throw up your hands and go, sure, whatever, just put them all in. at least this one, there could be an argument.
Okay.
But I'm not going to say, you know, stamp of approval, slam dunk.
Right. All right. Are we still in the performers, or let me...
I think that's six, so there should be one more.
There is one more, which was such a weird inductee that I had to look to see. Are they like an influencer, or are they... No, this is an actual performer induction, the last performer induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The Spinners.
Oh. Okay.
I'm sure you're.
We're just gonna pull random oldies group out. We're gonna have these questionable picks, and then we're just gonna go back to, like I said, random oldies group.
This is like the 1954 NFL defensive tackle that made two tackles in the championship game pick, because the Spinners had like one or two pop hits. And that's
guarantee
about it.
I guarantee you that if I look it up, they've probably got a couple of songs everybody knows, and you never know who did them.
Right. Right. Oh, I know who did them because I'm familiar with them, but most people have no idea. Oh, that was the Spinner? Yeah, okay.
Okay. Well,
most people.
All right.
The Spinners, the Stylistics, the Four Tops,
the Four Spot. So
Temptations all sound the same to them, but. Yeah, the Spinners.
We'll start plucking one per year. So I'll put them in that four. They're the four seed here.
Okay.
So, you know, two slam dunks, couple of is, and then the rest are just like, come on, what are we doing here?
All right. That leaves the Musical Influence Award. There's two for that.
Oh.
The first
Influence Award. And these are artists, too. Or
actually,
these like
the
producers?
The first one is definitely not an artist and not a producer. Extremely important to a genre of music that would not be rock and roll. And that would be DJ Kool Herc. And I'm going to just stop you already because I know you don't know who that is. But he's basically the father of DJing. Like what you know as far as scratching and the DJs getting up there and being the front men, because the beginnings of hip-hop was not the MCs, it was the DJs taking the records that were already out and mixing them in new innovative ways that got the parties going in the mid-70s, and that's basically the beginning of hip-hop, and DJ Kool Herc is basically the guy that's credited as being the first to do that. Like a founding
spinning
father.
Spinning them. He's up on the ones and twos.
Yeah.
Word.
God. It's really good that we don't have a show because we'd probably be fired.
What did we do? What did we say?
Some of the directions that we take sometimes.
It's Kings of Non Sequiturs, the name of the show.
This is true. This is why it's our show. We can do what we want.
That's right.
So I don't know how to, I guess, categorize it. DJ Kool Herc is extremely important to hip-hop. He's a father of hip-hop. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't.
I know.
But
so
again.
You just throw up the hands and go, okay.
Once you light that torch and you let in, you know, Public Enemy and Beastie Boys and all of them. To go back to the father and the founder, okay, fine. The second person in the Musical Influence Award I've never heard of in my life. His name is Link Ray. Do you know who Link Ray is?
No.
Okay. The bio is kind of short, so I can read it. Link Ray was the original punk, the inventor of the power chord, and the architect of a sound that laid the foundation for metal, punk, and every genre that relies on raw, untamed noise to convey its message.
Mm.
So basically, he was the first guy to play a guitar loud, apparently.
Yeah, he had the Spinal Tap amplifier, because that goes to 11, and just...
The power chord.
Yeah, the power chord.
which I okay. So that's influencers.
Good job, Link Ray.
There are three in the Musical Excellence Award. One is definitely a performer that we've all heard of, and the other two, and one's a writer we've all heard of. So in the what's the name of this award? I forgot it already. Musical Excellence, sorry. In the Musical Excellence Award for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, is that famous rock and roller, Chaka Khan.
What?
excellence, okay, yeah. Chaka Khan is excellent. I'll agree with that. Rock and roll?
I got nothing. I mean, we know. I know who she is, of course, but
right.
Not
and this bio I have to read. No, this bio I have to read because they tried to weave that in as well and go woke as well. They said Chaka Khan's voice and presence represented the racial and social integration at the heart of rock and roll. So somehow singing all that R&B music was.
Oh,
integrating the races at the heart of rock and roll. Yeah, who knew that's what Chaka Khan was doing in the 70s and 80s. Here I am. I thought she was just making good R&B.
She's a pioneer. Yeah, thought she was trying to make the money and have a nice career and put food on the table and spread love through song. Nope, she's a rock pioneer. Fooled you.
No, she's a racial and social integration at the heart of rock and roll pioneer. So
sure, that's what she was thinking.
Uh huh. She was woke before woke was woke. Next in the excellence category, I've never heard of this person, Al Cooper with a K. Silence.
Don't know what Al Cooper with a K did.
A massive influence on American music. Composer,
so massive, we've never heard of him.
Massive.
Massive.
Composer, multi-instrumentalist, singer, arranger, and producer Al Cooper has collaborated with the biggest names in rock and roll.
And
so he's a collaborator with the stars.
Do they not tell you who those are?
They might if I click forward.
Wait, no. Here's what it is. I'll tell you the list right now.
Okay.
Willie Nelson, Kate Bush, Chaka Khan, The Spinners. Jeez.
No, he came along before that. I did click forward on his bio, and I'm not going to read it all, but basically he goes back to 1965. And Gary Lewis and the Playboys and people like that.
That's why
so,
we don't know who he is.
Yeah.
That's before our time.
Definitely. All right, so that's Al Cooper. And the third inductee to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for Excellence, we know him as a writer, Bernie Taupin.
That's Elton John's writing partner.
Yep, that's the guy. So that's tangentially rock and roll. So.
Yes, that one actually is.
Can't have any complaints about Bernie Taupin, I don't believe. Made some very, very popular records with Elton John, as we said. So good on Bernie Taupin. And that leaves the the Ahmet Erdogan Award, which you said you have no idea who that guy is. I only know him because they referenced him in the Ray Charles movie. So he's one of the original guys from that label, from that Atlantic Records, back when Ray was first coming along in the 50s.
Okay.
So he has his own award, and we've all heard of the person who received that award. Unfortunately, his unfortunate demise is what comes to mind, but at least he's getting in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame anyway. Don Cornelius.
Okay.
Too damn bad. Yeah, rock and roll, okay, whatever. His influence on music is obvious and un, unassailable. It's just a damn shame that the first thing you think about now when you think of Don Cornelius is the fact that he shot himself.
I wasn't thinking of that. Wasn't he from Soul Train?
Yeah, Soul Train.
That's what I was thinking of.
Okay,
I did not know he offed himself.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's obviously the Soul Train guy. Like, I thought he was a little more popular than that. Like, obviously, it's Don Cornelius. But yeah, I think of him the fact that he decided to kill himself is. But yeah, if you didn't hear about it when it happened, then if you don't know, you don't know. So unfortunately, I knew. But yeah, the Soul Train, the story of Soul Train, very popular and infamous, at least in my circles and whatnot. And yeah, he opened many doors. They even say that in the bio, he opened the door and held it open for many others to follow through. Rock and roll, no, but musical influence, yes, absolutely. Big presence in many black homes in the 70s and 80s.
I remember even Soul Train. Yeah, that was a big deal.
Yeah, it's Soul Train. It's
I won't do the intro because my family's trying to sleep.
Oh well, I can do it, but I can't because I'm old and my voice doesn't go that high anymore. But I can try it.
Yeah, everybody. I mean, you grew up in the 80s. You know that. You know that.
Yeah.
You know Bandstand, right? That was all those, you know?
Sure.
Don Cornelius, rock and roll. Sure.
Rock and roll Hall of Famer, Don Cornelius. So, yeah, as we've discussed through the years, this is more of like American Music History Hall of Fame more so than rock and roll.
Which, that's what it seems to have morphed into, because obviously when they started it, you were able to like check all the big names off right away, and we're so far past that point now. That, you know, and rock...
And we're so far outside of rock and roll.
Music isn't even really, you know, like mainstream anymore. So many other genres are out there before you even think of rock. And if you do think of rock, there's so many splinter groups of rock, you know, that it's like, you know, it's not just what you think. You think of rock, you think of very certain things. And even what we consider like, point a band out to me right now that you would just go, yep, they're rock. Rock music. Right. You have to, it's an offshoot that you would use to describe them within the framework or the umbrella of rock. So there's my breakdown on that.
Oh, we talk about that a lot. Like, who in the world is going to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 25 years from now? Like the artists that are out right now.
Who's out? Taylor Swift, apparently.
Justin Bieber.
Sure. Eminem.
Oh, sure.
You know, because you don't have to be dead.
Right.
You can still be kicking,
mm-hmm.
you know, and get into these things, or at least in the waning years of your career. So
there is a limit or a I can't think of the word I'm trying to, but there is a you do have to have been in the business for 25 years, I believe, in order to be nominated. So,
oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. So he can't just nominate anyone, but like, that's why I say 25 years from now, who in the world is going to be in that's still going to be relevant enough to where you want to go back and say,
right.
yeah, when they started in 2012 or whatever.
You can be a mid-tier musician now, and then 25 years from now, one of your songs pops up on a TV show.
Oh, when somebody remakes Stranger Things for 2037.
Then you could be in.
Pulls a random song by Billie Eilish out, and that propels her to the top of the charts. And then
correct.
Billie
somebody
Eilish will be in the Hall of Fame.
You have unlocked the secret.
But can I put money? Can I monetize that? Can I? Is there a market where I can bet Billie Eilish plus $2,500 to make the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Because that's where I need to make that work. It doesn't really matter that I call
right.
it.
I would have more reason to have to ask my daughter or my son, like, hey, who's gonna be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, 25 or 20 years from now.
Well, no, they're going to stop and look at you and go, what is rock and roll? What are you talking about?
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, they don't. Who's going to be in the Music Hall of Fame 20? Cause
yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's rock anymore.
No. I think we should start calling it what it actually is, which is just the American Music Hall of Fame.
Right. That seems to be what it's morphing itself into. And it would make sense at some point that they just drop the whole rock and roll thing.
It gets more and more outdated every year.
Correct. And just start having wings, kind of like the Hall of Infamy,
They got wings.
We've got the Crime of Punishment wing. And
right.
You know.
They got wings. They couldn't put Chaka Khan in just as a performer. They had to make her a whatever they called it.
Influencer?
Well, that's another category.
Oh.
She's a musical excellence.
Excellence.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't know what makes you musical excellence and what makes you performer. I don't understand.
Well, I can understand what makes you musical excellence, but what makes you musical excellence enough to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I love these every year.
And what's the difference? Why couldn't Chaka Khan get in as a performer? Well, she wasn't good enough as a performer, but she still had musical excellence, so we're going to put her in, sort of backdoor in this way. Isn't that almost an insult? Like a slap in the face? You weren't a good enough performer, but we want to put you in anyway as just an excellent musician. You just didn't perform very well. You didn't have big enough hits.
Yeah, I'm not sure quite what the split is there. I mean, we might have to get that some committee discussion, or I don't even know if they have a committee. I think they just pull names out of hats.
Someone makes these decisions. I don't know who
or how. There is a giant dartboard and post-it notes. And
who gets musical excellence?
On a blindfold.
Chaka Khan gets musical excellence.
Yeah. No, they put in a couple, like, automatic ones they don't have to argue about, and then they're like, we got nothing for these last few, so let's just start, somebody has ChatGPT.
I understand how DJ Kool Herc can't get in as a performer because he didn't perform anything. He was just a DJ.
Correct.
That I get. But why is Chaka Khan not in as a performer when she was a performer for 30 years? I don't know.
I remember at least one of her songs.
That's something. I'm not going to look up the Billboard charts and get into a discussion on who's the bigger stars, but she had to have had more top 10 hits than the Spinners, but the Spinners get in as performers. So that's what I'm understanding. And Rage Against the Machine didn't have any top hits. They were just running around making noise.
They were not playing on the top 40.
They were not hit makers, no.
But ain't good for them.
Right. But they get in as performers, but not as musical excellence. You can switch that as far as I'm concerned. But Chaka is a performer and Rage Against the Machine as musical excellence. But that's just me. All right.
You should petition and make it happen.
If I had the stroke, if only I had the stroke. But I have no stroke at all. So we're about done here.
Yeah, it was just a nice little quick pop. So you saw my texts. We're heading down your way this year.
Yeah, very excited.
That'll be fun. I can tell you exactly when that'll be, actually, so you can clear your calendar.
All right.
That will be October 21st.
We will clear our calendar. We're going to be here. We do not appear to be leaving on any other trips this year until Thanksgiving in Chicago.
Yeah, because you were telling me about that one. So, yeah, we're going, taking the kids out of school for a couple of days, and then they have 3 days off for some reason the week before Halloween. So we're taking them out of school for 2 days, and we're heading down to Florida.
Okay.
Got a room right on the Gulf Coast. Hopefully there's no hurricanes. And
yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah. My wife, we've been talking about having an excuse to head down your way and looked at it on the map and said, hey, it's only a couple extra hours out of the way. And we all want some ribs.
that's why you're coming. That's the real reason.
Well, you know, yeah. But you just happened to be there, so that's okay. What will be interesting is when we get to that stretch of the schedule for shows, because we are gone from Friday the 20th until Sunday the 29th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's like a 10-day trip. So it's going to really put a crimp on us doing, especially that full week show right before Halloween.
Yeah, sounds like I might be on the hook for a couple of solos there.
Yeah, I could. Well, there's a Thursday night right before I leave that we don't do it very often, but we could throw in a Thursday nighter. I know you don't like them, but that is a possibility on the 19th of October. The next week, I don't know. You got 5 months. You could find a fill-in host for the week or something.
I'll consider that.
Because we're heading home from, we're starting our drive back on that Friday, and then we're taking a couple of days. We're probably on the way back through, going north, going to stop and see my dad. So,
okay.
You know, so we're going to hit you guys on the way down, hit my dad on the way back home, and maybe make it a crazy just whirlwind week and a half for us. So it'd be fun, though.
Yeah, it'd be great. I'm very excited to see the kiddos. Been so long since I've seen you guys. Of course, I'm excited to see you guys, too.
Yeah. You're excited to go out for ribs, too.
And excited to go to Corgi's. Well, we can go to Corgi's anytime, you know, but it's always more special.
I just want to be able to go there and enjoy it, because the last time, if you remember, I was ill.
Yes, definitely remember that you were not feeling well.
Yeah, I was quite ill the last time we were down there, and that was on the way to my my grandfather's funeral.
Right.
So that's quite a few years ago since we've actually been down that way, and we don't get many opportunities, you know, I mean, not having any family down there anymore. I mean, other than you, of course, your family.
That's right, brother.
That's right, my brother. So, yeah, so that's exciting.
Up to my knee. This has been years. And
yeah,
I know they're not up to
my
knee.
They'll have no idea who you are. They just know who you are from talking to you on the show.
They might remember me. They don't run into too many other black people up there, so I'm sure they remember
Trini
me.
Mike. Grant will have no idea.
Oh.
Grant was in a stroller last time. We saw you guys. But Trini was, she's in pictures with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Grant's in pictures, too. He's just so young.
He's a baby.
Right.
So,
he won't remember
fun.
That.
So, that is, that's way down the line, but we say it's way down the line. 5 months will be here before we know it.
It will. It'll absolutely be just like the football season will be starting before we know it. We got the summer to go, but it's shorter than we think, and then the beginning of August comes around, and it'll be time to get ready for some Hall of Infamy inductions.
Taking the kids to another Packers preseason game this year. They had so much fun last year, so we're taking them to another preseason game. As soon as the schedule dropped and the tickets went on sale, I waited about 3 days and was able to scoop up tickets, $11 per ticket.
Were they a lot more before your boy Karen left for New York?
That's
what they usually cost.
Much more, because last year we paid $15.
Okay.
For preseason tickets. So this year it's 11. So that's 20% or more.
Well, it's not that bad.
No.
But yeah, you get the early indications of what Jordan Love's going to look like. Ooh, boy.
I saw him play in that preseason game last year. He looked quite good, much better in his second year than he did in his first.
Okay.
So, yeah, probably, I'm guessing he'll have quite a bit of PT taking over the job full time. I don't think he's going to play every snap, but I could see him playing a half, you know.
Right.
So that's, yeah, it's another fun thing that we have coming up. Nice inexpensive time for the kids, and the draft is coming to Green Bay.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention. In a couple of years, Green Bay, Wisconsin gets to host the draft. That city
I told my wife, start saving. We're going.
That city is so tiny.
The city is tiny, but they do have the space, the facilities.
To handle 300,000 people?
Yeah.
It's going to be a zoo.
There's a lot of room. I don't know about hotels and all of that.
Yeah, no.
But there's definitely a lot of room there. I'm sure there's going to be some stuff pop up, you know?
Okay.
Some venues pop up. But there's a lot of room outside the stadium and inside, you know. And then there's the training facility. They'll do a good job. They obviously must have had an impressive offer, because these teams all bid for this. It's like the frickin' Olympics.
Right, but it's the NFL, so whoever comes up with the best offer is what wins the day. It's not whether they're actually prepared to handle it. It's whoever makes the best offer.
Yeah. They did it in Chicago. Where did they do it when they did it in Chicago?
Grant Park, right?
Yeah. Was that Grant Park?
See, it had to be either Grant Park or McCormick Place, or I'm trying to remember.
It might be right about, down there on the lake. I know it was down on the lakefront.
Yeah, it had to be out there at Grant Park. That's about the only place I could think of where they would have that kind of space that they would dedicate to that. Like, there's space like in Hyde Park and stuff, but they would never dedicate it to the NFL.
Sure.
So, yeah, it had to be down there in Grant Park.
They'll have something. I have a feeling it'll be well done. I think it's going to be a total clusterfuck, but it's going to be well done.
Yes, it will be a clusterfuck.
And it will bring a lot of, you know, it'll be cool for that city, you know, being such a, I mean, it's, you know, the fact that a city of 80,000 has an NFL team, you know.
Is already strange, yes.
You know, that's funny because it's really a state team.
Of course, they used to play in Milwaukee.
They played a couple of games down there. They still have their, you know, split season ticket package. You know, they still have the grandfathered in season ticket games for two. You know, if you were a Milwaukee season ticket holder, you get two of those eight games.
That's going back in the day for those who aren't familiar or don't remember or weren't alive. The Packers used to actually play home games in Milwaukee, not just in
Green Bay. I was at the last one. I was at the very last game they ever played at Milwaukee County Stadium.
There you go.
So there's something for you, too. It was Brett Favre running in a touchdown as time was expiring. That was a long time ago.
It's got to be a long time if Brett Favre was running it in.
Yeah, it was the very, very last game they ever played in Milwaukee County.
So that draft's going to be a zoo. You're going to be right in the middle of that. That's going to be, I'm talking about how crazy it's going to be, but I'm also jealous because that's going to be like the closest that one of us comes to one of those sort of festival situations like that. Like it reminds me of like going to WrestleMania, whatever city that they go to. Like I still want to do that one day as a bucket list thing.
Yeah.
Because just walking around the area is probably as insane as walking around the NFL draft. It's probably just, you know, very similar.
I don't even know if I'm going to have to be in there. I just want to be there.
So you don't really even want to go in the and stand there for the actual draft while they go through 3 hours of. Oh, okay.
I do, for at least for day one.
Right.
I just think that would be something that's like once in a lifetime.
Right.
And it's going to snow.
Like WrestleMania.
You know it's going to snow.
For the draft?
In
I forget you guys up there get snow basically until June.
Correct. We have snow in May, almost, I think. The beginning of this month, I think we had snow showers. And yeah, but you could get some pretty awful weather in April in Green Bay. It could be nice, too, but odds are it's not going to be very nice, which I think this would be perfect for the NFL draft if they're out there in the snow. But it's Green Bay. They're on the frozen tundra.
Don't wish to. It's the last week of April. It might be snow, but don't don't wish that on them.
Right.
Come on.
Well, like you like you had the one down in Nashville, right? I mean, you're probably
yeah.
you probably wished you had gone to that, right?
Would have been interesting.
That was
I admit.
That was a huge crowd.
Oh yeah.
At Nashville, I think they said 600,000.
Yeah, yeah, it was
crazy. Enormous. What they did in the downtown of that city, how they were able to handle that was crazy. But we'll see what Green Bay can do. It'll be fun. I just think because you know Packers, they travel well no matter what, and they're doing this in the whole state's going to be there. I feel like you're going to have
definitely
that city's going to be a zoo, and I'm there for it.
It just strikes me as also the one city that there's a possibility that all the power goes out because they just can't handle everything, and then it just turns into a complete nightmare.
No, it's not going to be that bad.
I don't know. I'm just wondering.
Okay.
First ECW pay-per-view in the Bingo Hall in Philadelphia. Literally 3 seconds after they went off the air after the final match, the power blew in the building and went dark. They were that close to complete disaster because they couldn't handle it. They weren't ready for something like that. But
wow,
they made it through. So that I had to throw a little wrestling in there because I always got to get some wrestling in.
Every show. So yeah, we'll do this. We'll do this again in a few weeks and.
Yep, who knows what will come up and what we'll be able to talk about at that point.
We get into June here.
Haven't had too many arrests yet. We got punt guy trying to get off his charges.
Have we ever rescinded an award?
I would hold off on rescinding because all they basically said was the authorities in charge can't really place him at the scene at this point, which
that's kind of important.
I also think the girl that got raped would like to debate that. So I don't. I would still hold all tickets in that situation. I don't think anything's been resolved yet. And the Dan Snyder sale is inching its way to completion very, very slowly. Aaron Rodgers banged up his calf today in training camp.
It's because his dumbass is practicing with the team. I mean, what's he doing?
He never did before.
Correct.
He would not come out, no matter how bad the team failed in the playoffs in Green Bay, he would not come out to OTAs up there.
No.
I'll be fine.
He wouldn't practice at all. He would practice, but he wouldn't play in the OTA. Anything that was not mandatory, he would not show up for, didn't play in any of the preseason. He just thought he could show up and win a title. And
then turn around and accuse the organization of disrespecting him. Like, come on.
And then says, you guys don't give me weapons. And then goes to the Jets and goes, I want all those guys I had in Green Bay.
Who weren't really weapons, right?
Correct. It's just, yeah. Oh, come on. You got to love him.
God, always love some Aaron Rodgers. Freaking weirdo. He's not doing anything in New York either, folks. I'm sorry. He still doesn't have the one receiver that he trusted. Unless he goes to New York, it's still.
I told you this is Russell Wilson 2.0, and I'm sticking with that all the way until we go through our preseason stuff. It's the same exact recipe. Old quarterback, traded to another city, into an extremely competitive division, into a new situation. I don't care how, same thing with Russell Wilson, right? Great defense. Look how well that went.
I don't even know if I'm going that far down in the hole. You're going deep down. When you talk about the next Russell Wilson, that's awful.
I do get the same. I get the same vibes off of this as I did off the Russ thing, because you still got the Bills and the Dolphins. You still have respectable teams in that division that are very good. Rodgers isn't just going to show up and it's like, oh wait, hey, we're not now we're Super Bowl contenders. Nope.
Yeah, that's exactly how it's been covered, and no, no.
If I can fade the Jets in any way,
you can fade the Jets. Yeah,
they're all over. They're going to be all over the game primetime games this year too. I think they have 6 of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's another new thing. They're flexing of the Thursday games now. We're not going to.
I don't understand.
I definitely understand.
Here's why you flex Thursday night games. Flex the worst game to Thursday night.
Worst game of the week.
Yeah, just have a TBD schedule for the last 6 weeks of Thursday nights that you play, and then whatever the worst game on the schedule is, just put that on Thursday night, because it'll still draw a bigger number than whatever it's up against.
It might still draw a pretty big number, but
Colts,
they
Texans.
Are. Yeah, no, they're actively trying to not have the shittiest games of the year on Thursday night. They actually want to have Amazon Prime stick around.
Yeah, they like it because they want the money.
Yeah, that's it. They're actually trying to treat their partner right.
Right. You want to do things right then if you're the NFL? Here's how you do it, because you end up with these turd Monday night. Just schedule the first half of the season primetime games and then just flex everything the rest of the way.
That's kind of what they're trying to do or moving towards doing. But they're not. It's not mandatory for everyone to have a night game anymore, so we're spared from Jaguars Jets hopefully forever until the end of time. We don't ever have to deal with that again. And they're trying to actually put decent games in these Thursday night, but that's a whole different problem. Now you're taking teams that might contend for the playoffs, and oh, by the way, you're not playing on Sunday, you're playing Thursday, you're getting a short week. Good luck. So.
And there's some team. I saw that the rules on this were pretty distinct, saying that everybody's going to get like 4 weeks notice.
Okay.
So it's not going to be, you know, Monday night football is over and then, oh, wait, now we're announcing our Thursday flex schedule. No, what?
So they get a 4 week notice. That's fine. You're still taking a team that's trying to put a season together and contend, and putting them in a disadvantage by potentially putting them in a Thursday night that they weren't, you know, anticipating, and possibly a second Thursday night, because now you can, now that you're not making it mandatory for every team, now you can have teams that go Thursday night twice in a season. Which really
it happens sucks. Every year, though, that there's that team that you think is going to be good, and then they're 2-11, and then they're just dominating.
Right.
Like the Broncos of last year, where it seemed like they were on prime time every week.
Yeah.
That probably did more to get that dang coach fired than anything else. It wasn't just that the Broncos were bad. They were the only thing on and bad every week.
Yeah.
And those are the big horsey players. They have the ball, and they're going to see if they can find a way to move it.
Oh, nice.
And so what's up? Oh, there's Russ Wilson. Oh, no! That's called an interception.
So, in an attempt to avoid having that happen,
I never realized that Patrick there from SpongeBob went full Ron Santo.
Oh! he did. He did. So, trying to avoid that, they're having more ability to flex into Thursday night. So, I get it, but at the same time, it sucks, because you're going to take some team that's trying to put together a decent season and kind of screwing them.
Yeah. Okay, the show was over half an hour ago, so.
We made 2 hours out of absolutely nothing.
We did, just like we always do.
Yeah, kings of non sequitur, that's what we do. Okay, you ready to bounce?
I am.
All right, no idea when our next show will be, but I'm sure we'll make 2 hours out of nothing then as well. He is Jay. I am Dre. This has been Kings of Non Sequitur, the off-season version of In Much Less Detail, the podcast. Thank you all for listening to all of that. Hopefully it was entertaining, and hopefully you learned something from me trying to get scammed. And we will talk to you sometime in June.